they not? And so chapter 3 of Genesis, we have a good God that made a good creation, and something happened. What happened? Chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto him, said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So where, you know, sometimes, one person used to say to me as their idea of why I shouldn't believe in God is, well, why did God let all this happen? Why did 6 million Jews get killed in one in World War II by Hitler? And why did this happen? And why does that happen? Why did children have to die? And the idea is, well, God is the one that's at fault. No. It started within a garden when a serpent spoke to Adam and Eve, or spoke to Eve. And Eve gave some to her husband, and they rebelled against God. I was thinking about this forbidden fruit. We're going to talk about Eve's conversation with the devil. But what was wrong with the forbidden fruit, the fruit that they were not supposed to eat? If we look at 2 verse 9 of Genesis, it says, and out of the ground God made to grow every tree that is pleasant for sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In many places in the scripture, it's good to be able to tell the difference between good and evil, isn't it? Is it good to know the difference between good and evil? And so you might have thought that Eve was making a good choice whenever she chose this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, but it's different than that. We are supposed to have our senses exercised, in Hebrews, to be able to discern between what's right and wrong. How do we get our senses exercised? How do we know what's right and wrong? Huh? The Word of God. And so we should be exercising our senses every day to read the Scriptures, to learn what is right and wrong, because left on our own, we have a little bit of this carnal nature, maybe a lot of it, some of us, and we want to do what's wrong. We don't want to do what's good. But in this case, this was the one thing that God said don't do. You know, are we attracted to things that God says don't do? If you want your kids to get in that lower cabinet where you have stuff they're not supposed to touch, what do? Tell them, don't get in the lower cabinet where the stuff is. That's our natural tendency. And so when God gave this idea, don't eat this fruit, obviously there was a curiosity. In fact, we don't know why Eve was off by herself. Angie says if Adam had been paying attention, she wouldn't have went by herself and she wouldn't have been there with the devil. But anyway, that's sort of the way she said it anyway. But there is this natural tendency to want things that God does, to push the line, to test it. Do teenagers test their parents, or do youngsters test their parents, see how far they can push them? No, Olivia says absolutely not. Never happens in our house. At any rate, Eve had this conversation with the devil, and it wasn't just about the knowledge of good and evil, but it's knowing, experiencing. How often had Eve disobeyed up to this point? Not once, nor Adam. They were in perfect harmony with God. They were walking in the garden with in the cool of the day with God. And just, that must have been a wonderful experience to just have the Lord right by your side and be able to honor and glorify Him in this beautiful garden. She had never experienced evil. And so when it talks about knowing good and evil, it isn't just knowing what's right and wrong. It's experience. She'd experienced the good. It was experience the wrong. And I can promise you that you're never better off trying it out. That is the wrong. You're never better off. You're always better not testing, not trying, not experiencing. You don't need to experience evil to know what God is all about. You can know Him without that. In fact, the things that most of us are ashamed about are our tests of testing God and experiencing evil. We don't need to. I wish I hadn't done some of the things that I did. You don't need to know those things. How did the devil get into this thing of temptation? What did he do to test or to tempt Eve? Maybe he drew her attention over there. I don't know, but he used the serpent. Was there, but I believe that the devil was speaking through him. In fact, whenever it speaks of who the serpent is or who the devil is, what does it say? In Revelation 12, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan. So you have it all there together. He's the one. He's the liar. He's the father of liars. Who's the first liar? The devil. He's a murderer. Who was the one that caused the death of billions of human beings? The devil. He's a liar, and you don't want anything to do with him. You got to know your adversary, but you don't want anything to do with him. So what Satan often does is he quotes a piece of Scripture. And he also puts it in such a way, has the Lord said this? That you can eat, hasn't the Lord said you can eat every tree in the garden? Well, the problem is if we don't know Scripture well, we might misquote it back. Yes, we may eat of some of all the trees of the garden, but we shouldn't even touch this one. That isn't what God said. He said, don't eat it. Probably a good idea to stay away from it, but don't eat it. And so she wasn't quite sure of her Scripture either, what God had said specifically. It's whenever you know, and I want you to get this in your brain. If you want to not sin, you got to know exactly what the Scripture says. Not halfway, not partway, but the whole way. What does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? At any rate, in the process of this, Satan also went ahead and he says, God knows that the day you eat of it, you'll be just like God. And he don't want you to be just like God. No, isn't that what he said essentially? And so we all want, in other words, the whole temptation of man goes back to we want to be on our own, independent, making our choices for ourselves. We want to be just like God, knowing good and evil so we can make the choice. Right? That's what we want. We want, in other words, I don't want somebody telling me what to do. That happens whenever we get about 14, 15, 16. We don't want our parents telling us what to do. And all of a sudden at 25, they learn a whole lot. They didn't know anything when we were 16 and 17, 18, 19, 20. But once we turn 26 or have our own kids, maybe some people never learn that. But anyway, my parents got a whole lot smarter. The things that God says, they are wisdom, they are truth, they are righteous. Did you like that song? The law of the Lord's perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise a symbol. More to be desired are they than gold. anything you could value. His words are more valuable than them. Whatever it is. And that's why he says, write these words on our heart. Put them in your mind. Put them, I was telling the kids this morning, the young people this morning, don't call them kids, they're teenagers or young adults. Don't call them kids, that's goats. But anyway, it says, write them on your doorpost of your house. Speak of them while you're in the way. We are to have the Word of God in such a way in our hearts and minds that any time there's something that comes contrary to that, says, uh-oh, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. I know what God's Word says. And we've written it, and we love it, and we enjoy it. We talk about it when we're walking in the way. We sing about it. Are we thrilled about God and His Word? Or are we just here because we're supposed to be here? Are we thrilled to be with God's people on the Sabbath? Or are we just here because we're supposed to be, or because our parents did? Folks, you got to get that joy inside of you for the Lord, for His kingdom, for His Word. So Satan tempted Eve, and he said that God knows. You know, Satan will always try to tell you that either your parents don't know or God really. I mean, you know, that's old fashioned. We're modern age, right? That's the way they used to do it. No, God's word is ahead of the game. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so that He's already at the other end. He's ahead of the game. You know, doctors just try to catch up with God. For many years, they didn't know various things that they know now, and they're finding out, well, God already said that. God already showed us. By the way, if you want to eat things you shouldn't eat, Eve did. If you want to eat things you shouldn't eat, just remember God knows better than you. Whatever it is. Right? Does He know best? Did He know what He's talking about? Did He know this is good and that isn't? Of course He did. And you can go ahead and eat it. You can die younger too. One preacher said, if you eat it, you'll go to heaven sooner, you know. You get to heaven sooner. This is probably going to be a two-part sermon. I'm just getting wound up, and we haven't got halfway through my first set of first slides yet. So we'll probably have a few more sermons on this. Maybe you can handle it. Anyway, so then Satan comes back with another thing. He tried to draw her aside, and that's what he does, doesn't he? Draws us aside, gets our attention some way or another. And then he accuses God. God really doesn't love you, or he wouldn't have put this stumbling block in front of you, or he wouldn't have put this thing in front of you. And he knows better. I mean, he knows that if you do that, you'll even be smarter. And then he makes it out and out lie. The first lie, the liar of liars, the one that is said to be a liar from the beginning. What was the lie? You shall not surely die. First lie. And unfortunately, a lot of people pick it up. They say, well, whenever you die, you know, your body goes in the grave and your soul zips off to somewhere. Right? That's common understanding. And yet, it says that we shall receive eternal life at the last trump. Dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air. When's that? Is that when you're buried? No. It's when Jesus comes again. We're resurrected. We're given eternal life at that point. And so the first lie is a lie that kind of continues all the way through. And people swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You know, I'm kind of glad they're not watching me. Not just because I want to do something wrong or anything, but because look at the turmoil and the trials and the sufferings. You don't want your loved ones seeing that. You don't want them watching over you. And yet, and the thing is that whenever they're in the ground and whenever they go to sleep in Jesus, they're resting. They're at peace. And they don't even have knowledge of time. The next thing they know, they'll wake up and the trumpets will be sounding. And we'll all be together in the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. But Satan had to tell his lie. He told it to Eve for a little bit different reason, because Eve would have been not eating because she was afraid, well, I'm going to die right now if I eat this thing. You know, your parents tell their kids, don't eat that. That'll make you sick. And then we go ahead and eat it and get sick. Anyone ever make mud pies and eat them? Anyone ever eat dog food? I just wanted to see what it tastes like. Dogs liked it. Hey, we're going to have lunch in a minute, folks. You'll be going. No, I better not go any further with that. But Satan told the lie. Eve looked at it. Verse 6. Look at verse 6 there in chapter 3. Eve must have known the difference between poison and not poison, because she said it there, she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and she didn't do it. She wasn't satisfied. She gave it to her husband too, and he ate it. Says he knew what he was doing. She was deceived, but. But isn't that the way sin is? It looks pleasant. Looks good. Could be good for me. And we want to just experience that wisdom or that other thing that we haven't experienced. And we don't know that it's to our own destruction. Well, of course, Satan tempted Eve. He also tempted Jesus. And said, you're hungry, right? 40 days of fasting, you're hungry. That took a big brain to figure that out. You know, 40 days fasting and you're hungry. Yeah. Anyhow, he said, turn these stones into bread. Use your power for yourself, for selfish reason. Go up to this pinnacle and look down and just jump off. God's going to protect you. There's another twisting of God's word, by the way. He used the word that said, the angels shall have charge over you, and they shall put out their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The angels aren't going to protect you if you just do something crazy. Right? The angels are there for protection when we need it, when we don't have any other choice but to be protected. And the angels do have charge, and they're watching over us. They're looking over us, looking out for us. But this again was just to show his power. Satan tempted him. And then he tempted him and showed him all the nations of the world in one fell sweep, and says, if you'll bow down and worship me, and ultimately this is where Satan is taking us. Two places Satan wants to take you. He wants to take you to your death, or he wants you to take you to the point where you're worshiping him. And maybe you don't even know you're worshiping him. But see, when we rebel against what God says, when we do the things that God commands not to do, who are we serving? What are we serving? And see, Satan, that's his goal, is to get you away. I don't think he cares so much if you worship him, but that you quit worshiping God. That you quit following God. And so this final temptation was, and for Jesus it might have been a greater temptation than that, because what was Jesus going to have to do before he could be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He was going to have to die on a cross for our sins and pay the penalty. And then he would be king, and all nations would bow, every knee would bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And so this not only was a temptation of maybe pride and worshiping the devil, but you don't have to go through the cross. Now, by the way, there's a lot of churches, a lot of speakers today that want to tell you you don't have to go through the cross either. You know? Just accept God, everything will be good, never trials, no problems. You'll be wealthy and rich and you'll never be sick and all that stuff. But what did Jesus say? He said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross. The way to eternal life for Jesus was right through the cross. And brothers and sisters, sometimes, not always. In fact, it's unusual when it doesn't happen this way. But a lot of the times, it takes us through a cross. And have anyone ever had a cross to bear? Everyone. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. Let's close our time together with that song. And think about serving Jesus, what it means. Maybe you're in a temptation today. I don't know the number on that one, by the way. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Oh, that's